Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. It's a blessing and an honor just to follow God, to obey Him. Whenever we follow His instructions, we're not operating on our wisdom and might. We're operating on His wisdom and His might, His power. And it's so relaxing because whenever you have to come up with a plan, you're working. Coming up with a plan is work. But preparing to obey is rest. Your life can be rest. What we do, if we do it in Him, by that I mean we rely on His strength. We're fighting His battle in His strength. We're involved in the battle. The enemy attacks our lives, and it's aggravating. The people you love, he pits them against you. But we have weapons. We are not without arms. We have strong arms. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. When you sense an enemy attack, counterattack it in Him. If the church, if God's people, the church is God's people, not the buildings. The buildings will be here when Christ comes and goes. But the people of God are His body. Our hands and feet and arms, every extension of our body does its specific duty. And it relies on the signals from the brain. Isaiah said that Christ is the government is on His shoulders. What is Jesus telling you to do? His following is His governing. That's Him governing you. Rewards are in His government. Whatever He gives you to do, He's going to supply you to do it and govern you to do it and counsel you and bless you. Every time God give me instructions and all the thoughts it takes to get the job done, it is a rest. It's a blessing. It's not like the bondage of worldly kings. When they give orders, you might get killed doing their orders. And people get killed following God. But Paul said that he finished his course. Whether you get killed doing God's work or not, you will get to finish your course. You don't have to let the enemy take your life ahead of time or at all. God, sometimes people don't die a martyr, just like Jeremiah. No man could take his life. God gave him his life. But whatever God, however He guides you and whatever has to happen, understand that much good is going to come out of whatever God do in your life, whatever He instructs you to do. It's very important. Those who are martyrs, they are faithful no matter what happens. Now, some people won't get martyred, but they are faithful no matter what happens as well. They don't look at the danger, and they don't look at the demise. They look at Jesus. They look at the Father. They are committed to His perfect works. Some people's faith hangs by a thread. They're on the edge of hell. But those who love God, those who know Him, stick with Him. Even when we don't understand, we stick with Him. And every time I didn't understand. I had so many times I didn't understand. But that the day came that I would laugh about what happened, because good things happen. Good things follow the obedience of following God. It's a rest. Obeying God is a rest. It's my rest. Those who follow their own path, that's a frustrating way to live. I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that by revelation and by experience. Whenever I obeyed the Lord, I trusted in His works and in what He did. I knew if this is where I use my wisdom, I obey God. My wisdom is to obey Him. And I'm watching and recording everything that happens with my eyes. I see it, I hear it, I taste it, I go forward. And there's a time it seems weird to me, but I follow God anyway. And I have no regrets from following God. The closest thing I have to a regret, I would have cooperated in a greater way. But I followed Him with all the knowledge and wisdom I had. I wish that I had known more of God's word. And by all means, I learned about what Henry Groover and how God led him. I wish I knew what he knew back then. I wish I knew how to remit sins like he does. But in my own way, in my own right, with the wisdom that I had, I gave it to God, and God used what I had. And there's so much more we can do. But in order to learn it, you have to receive it. And people of God are groomed by Satan to be very skeptical. Christian people are some of the most skeptical people I ever met in my life. Even the Greeks, they would sit around and listen to whatever. They were listening for some new thing. Paul walked up on them. And then Paul said, y'all are too superstitious. But Christian people, they are critics. If you don't believe like them, you're wrong. If you write a book, getting a Christian to read it is like pulling teeth. I wrote a short story one time. And people liked my writings, the one pagers. But this was about 10 or 12 pages, like 8 to 12 pages. And I didn't know anybody that read it. Nobody I knew read it. And I gave a copy to a guy that happened to be a drug dealer. He read it. And he came back and said, man, that was good. I let my grandmother read it, and she read it. And she loves it. All my pastor friends, they didn't read it. I'm not just making this up. This is how people are. I thought that, you know, I didn't even write it. I asked God to let me write a short story. And he didn't tell me to write one. He let me write one. But the one pages people would read, or the double-sided, they might read that. But the short story, that's just how it is. The only reason I'm saying this, I'm not bothered by it per se, but when you follow God and do what He gives you to do, you may not get the welcome wagon. But there are people out there that will rejoice when they read it. God has people that will love you, that will love what you've written, that will appreciate what you have to say. There are always people that will hear. Remember, Jesus said the harvest is white, but the laborers are few. When you're a laborer and you mean business, some people will criticize you. Some people will think not much of it because they don't have the revelation to understand it. But the man that's on the bottom, that's about to blow his brains out, he's looking for something. God can minister to him. Anybody that's searching, anybody that really wants to understand, anybody that's just tired of the world, they frustrate at their weakest point, God has sent somebody with the light, somebody with his word. When you have God's word, people can't always tell. Some people get in competition. I'm so tired of competition. I hate competition. Ministers competing to be the best. I hate it. I don't just not like it. I hate it because I know that kind of pride is going to hinder them. And they cannot be what God called them to be. They cannot fulfill the destiny that God has in place for them. Now, I know this. I've got all kind of revelation about it. I've heard what God had to say about it. He will not build on that weak, crumbling, satanic foundation. And the reason it's satanic is because if we're a body, we have to recognize the body. What's the difference? The people came in to the communion in Corinth. And the wealthiest people wanted to eat first. They acted like they had no food at home. They didn't come to recognize the body. Their mind was on getting full and drinking wine. On what they wanted. On their ambitions. Not on their brother, not on their sister, but the point of communion. Paul said, for this reason, many of you are sick and are dying. Because people are not following God. They're not following his love. When you recognize the body, you're at rest. When you love your fellow man as yourself, when you love your fellow man as God loves you, that's the path of God. That's the love of God. When people speak by the Holy Spirit, you're not offended. You rejoice with them. You receive the counsel of the word. Everybody who received from the Holy Spirit, the enemy tried to stop it. And they persisted and they gave the body of Christ the word that God sent them to give. When this happens, people grow. Sometimes you get an element that you did not have that can make the greatest difference. I'm a soft-spoken person. I'm not a boisterous type person. I know when I minister, I'm saying things point blank, but out in public, when I'm talking to people, I get overtalked. People will overtalk you. Because I love the body, I don't have an ambition of being the best preacher somewhere. I don't care about all that. Ministry is ministry. I care more about life. And ministry is a product of life. And ministry can introduce people to life. But life is more important. The love of God is more important. It always will be. I follow him. And when he give me information to give others, I give it freely. I don't charge money for it. I don't want praise for it. I don't want anything for it. I want people that receive what God is saying so their life can be stronger and we can work together as a body. But some people are so much in their competitious ways that they can't appreciate what God gave through me or through others. And they'll try to, it opens, the Word of God opens your eyes to things. And then they'll try to make it seem like they came up with it, or they'll say something to attack it, or instead of just receiving it, they're focused on looking better. And they don't want to be upstaged. And so many people are focused that way. So their ministry can't grow. How do you know their ministry can't grow, preacher? Because God will not build on that satanic foundation. Think about what Satan did. He usurped authority. He tried to live above others. What did Christ do? He taught people the ways of God. He commended people when they were right. And he talked to everybody. He talked to people in a way that they could understand. He was more focused. His whole ministry was more focused on blessing others. He was not trying to make a name for himself. He set the standard of life. As he is, so are we in this world. There are people who appreciate the works of God. Some people are so, they love God. God is dear to them. And they'll look to you. And I know people will look to you because they appreciate what you said. But even in that, they need to look to Christ, who gave me the words, or gave you the words. I don't do things to promote people looking to me. I want people to look to Jesus. I'm the body, you're the body. Yeah, but you're an apostle. I was called to be an apostle to serve God. The only difference in somebody that has a calling and somebody who hadn't received a calling is they don't have to do that calling. They still have the responsibility of reconciliation. We can promote life. We still have a duty to do. We have something to perform, and we need to do it. I have to be committed to what I'm doing. When you're anointed, your anointing, sometimes it has a jurisdiction. You have to live at a certain place, and you have to be at a certain place, and you have to do a certain work. A pastor has to be at his church every Sunday and every Wednesday, or whenever they have church, and he has to be at his post. If he's pastoring a church in California, that's where his anointing is. That's where he operates. If he comes to Alabama, he can come for a moment, but he's got to go back. Paul was sent to Gentiles, but when he went to Jerusalem, he went to jail. He was anointed to be with the Gentiles, not the Jews. We got to get it. We got, you know, but if you don't have a calling, you're free to roam. You can go wherever God wants you to be. You can go wherever you want to go. It doesn't matter what state you live in when you're not anointed, unless God anoints you for a specific thing. You can do what any apostle can do. You can pray. You can work miracles. You can dream dreams and have visions. You can speak life over your life. You're not limited. You're not inferior. That's the point. The callings and elections, they're sure. If you kill the apostle, now you got to give an account for the people that he was supposed to be a blessing to. And it's dangerous to hurt God's anointed people. That's why. Because he's a lifeline. You don't cut a lifeline. But as we grow from glory to glory, you're going to run into things. People don't always see things the way God does. And you have to learn to listen and appreciate what God has done. When people say things that I need, it doesn't matter where they come from. I'm pulling for them. I love them like God loves me. That's what I aspire to do. So when they say something that I need, I appreciate it. I don't feel offended. If they're not in ministry, if they look to me all the time, and they, you know, people treat the pastors and preachers like they're above. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But when people look up to you, don't look down on them. Look equal to them. If we're a body, we're equal. When I, you know, God called me, God gave me this ministry. He called me to be an apostle. Didn't ask for it. Didn't really want it at first. But that's what he chose to do, so I respect it. I thank him for it at this point, because it's useful to be a blessing to people. It's a blessing. And I want to do all that's in his heart. I'm in agreement. But I'm not a superior to anybody. But I've been around pastors that don't share that way. They have an air about them. They puff themselves up. They like attention. They like for people to look up to them. And God hates it. He said he doesn't like the deeds of the Nicolaitans, power over the people. We're here to be a blessing. And I decided I'll never treat people like I've been treated by pastors and by Christians. But people are learning and growing, and I give people room to do so. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because of things that you're running. Don't be shocked when it happens, when people don't read your books and don't talk about what you... When you get upstage, just love them anyway. Remember, the people who love God's word, they will hear you. Ken's people and people you know and friends, they'll be the last to read and listen to you. But the people, there are people out there that will, because they watch your life and they appreciate the life of God. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to open your eyes to things, true things, good things. And life is good. People miss out on God's best when they allow the works of darkness. But I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.